When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Our thought leader today is Adam Ludostansky, who is the head of Illinois Commercial Banking for Associated Bank. Adam, good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have our regular group of thought leaders, and you're new to the group, so I wanted to spend a little time talking about you and what you do at Associated Bank, so our listeners can get an idea of that. Tell us about yourself.
Thanks. I work with a group of lenders in the Illinois area, and we work with middle market companies, 25 million to up in the billions, and we help them with their working capital needs, their acquisition finance, and then all the other banking services that they may need.
So your expertise would be on what kinds of topics and issues that are probably in the headlines, even as we speak.
Yeah, we're helping our clients through liquidity concerns, whether it need to be with buying new equipment, making acquisitions. We're also helping them with their treasury management services and making sure things are efficient. It's hard to find people these days, and companies are demanding to be more efficient.
I bet one of the big parts of your job is dealing with all of the changes in the banking landscape, and there are lots of them. I pulled an article from Forbes, and they list at least a dozen big changes that are involved right now in the banking industry. And I wanted to focus in on a couple of them. And one is the idea that we're seeing more consolidation. I know we've, on the local landscape, seen banks come and go and branches come and go and close. What's the trend here as we start 2020?
I think we're going to continue to see that. Technology costs continue to rise. In order to stay relevant with the large banks, you have to continue to invest in technology. And as those costs continue to rise, it becomes challenging to do that on your own, and thus consolidating with another bank makes it more efficient.
Do the bank branches that are surviving, are they looking different than, say, the bank branches from a decade ago or even 5 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can walk into branches and not see a person in there. So there's so much that you can do now on the ATMs and on your phone that people are not walking into branches.
Yeah, and what I'm thinking in my mind, I see a commercial for another bank that is a coffee shop, right? So you're trying to bring people in for all kinds of different other things and have them do a little banking while they're there, right?
Yeah, that is. I've seen that as well. And I guess we can all do our banking from our phone in any coffee shop, but it is an interesting idea to get people in and be inside your bank.
You mentioned the technology aspect of this, and I know artificial intelligence is one of those growing technologies that is in the banking sector. The idea that a computer is approving you for a loan on the telephone or online seems really futuristic, doesn't it?
It really does, especially when I think about our business and what I do day to day. And a lot of that is getting to know the people, trusting the people that you're sitting in front of, and knowing that they're going to execute. And so while I see a lot of efficiencies with being able to use AI to make loan decisions, it does take away that human element, which I think is really important.
Is the idea here to save money on human capital, so to reduce the number of humans working in a bank, or is the goal to speed up operations?
It's both. And really, it does take a lot of people historically to underwrite a loan, book a loan, and then monitor a loan. So it absolutely helps that. But then it does speed up. Consumers want decisions immediately, and this can speed up the process by weeks. It does leave the door open, though, to not much wiggle room of getting to know that person. And mm-hmm. So that is the concern, but it does give those two advantages.
And it's interesting because this article talks about that being one of the trends. But one of the other trends being the reemergence of relationship banking. Talk to us a little bit about why that's still important to have.
Well, I think that's everything, but that's what I do every day. So, looking across the table and seeing that you trust the person to not only execute on their plan, but trust that they're going to do things to pay back your loan is vitally important. And so it's hard for me to see relationship lending going away completely, but I do think there is a place for certain loans with the AI technology that's out there.
And is this something that sets a bank like Associated Bank apart from one of those giant banks that you can go in and never see a human?
We think so. It takes more than that. It does still take, even if you're not using AI, it does still take quick decision making, because in today's day, people have to make decisions quickly and need to know that their financing is behind them, whether that's buying a house or investing in their business.
Yeah, all the talk of the technology and changes in the banking industry has the new umbrella term neobanking. It's one that listeners should probably think about, because they may be hearing that more in the future.
I think they will. I mean, we're all so used to now using our mobile phones to make transfers and to do things instantaneously that it doesn't seem like that's slowing down. So I would agree with that.
I want to move on to something else, because I know that as the year begins, a lot of focus is on the trends, not only the trends that we've been talking about, but the bottom line. Last year, with the rate cuts that we saw from the Federal Reserve, how did that impact the landscape of banking, and what is the look ahead for this year?
It really impacted it a lot last year. Anytime there's a rate cut, it's going to impact banks, but those were surprise rate cuts last year, and they weren't in the budget of any of the banks. And so you start to budget for rate increases, and then you have rate decreases, and it really impacts a lot more than just the numbers. This year, it appears that it's going to slow, and there may be a rate decrease at the end of the year, but at least from a planning perspective, as we sit today, it makes it easier. But you will continue to see compression in margins as rates go down and banks have mostly floating rate loans. They instantly are going to see compression in margin.
There is a little bit of talk about possibly another rate hike coming if things turn around with inflation and a couple of other things. I don't think that's been taken completely off the table, or has it?
I don't think it's been completely taken off the table, but right now, it's really hard to judge with more of the macro impacts. As it sits today, we think that it's going to be pretty flat for the year, but that can change very quickly, as we saw last year.
You have a lot of, back to the personal relationships, you get to talk with a lot of, CEOs and companies and business types alike. What are they saying about whether or not they're optimistic or pessimistic about the year ahead?
It's an interesting time, because companies are performing well, but people are still unsure as to what will happen this year and into 2021. So decisions on whether to hire that additional person, whether to make technology investments or other investments in the company, are difficult ones. So our clients are really performing well, but still debating as to what to do here as we head into this year.
When do those decisions normally have to be made by?
They can be made very fluidly. So I think people would like to, because revenues are steady to up and because margins have been good, most of our companies are sitting in very good spots where they can kind of wait to see a little bit. But if there's opportunities there, again, companies that are sitting with good balance sheets are able to take advantage of those opportunities.
Is this the year that digital currencies become even more popular? I know there are a couple of countries, the central banks of Britain, Japan, the European Union, Sweden, Switzerland, all working to possibly come up with their own digital currencies. I know there's always been some hesitation. There has been hesitation about some of this stuff, but is it becoming more commonplace?
I don't see it in my day-to-day. It feels like it's still very early in that process, but anything that can help efficiency and help on the fraud side, I think is absolutely going to continue to be looked at. We'll see. I think there's still a long way to go until that becomes a reality, but you never know.
It still feels so futuristic, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Well, Adam, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Well, if they'd like, they could give me a call, 312-544-4511. That's 312 844-4511. Would love to talk to anyone about their business and their needs.
It's great meeting you, and we look forward to having you back as a thought leader.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.